Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What up, family? We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel in the building.
Hotel for Bobby Ghani and Aslam Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We back in the building, family, for another week. Thanks for joining us. Collective Minds, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. But, yeah, we here, family. It's, you know, we in April. We coming up on May. You feel me? We got 2 weeks left in this month. So, you know, 2021 has been good. There's been a lot going on, and today we going to talk about it. You feel me? So, hit us up. Let us know what's on your mind. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get into the show, Queen Rigel, how was your week? And do you got any announcements for us?
I had a great week. Busy like always. But no complaints. No announcements today. Announcements.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements for us?
Yeah, I'm having a good productive week as well. Only announcement I got is I want to say Ramadan Mubarak to everyone out there who is fasting and partaking in Ramadan. So enjoy fast, my brothers and sisters. And like I said, Ramadan Mubarak to you.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, family. So we here. Hit us up. Like I say, we are Collective Minds. We are here. You know, I like to think of us as alternative black media, right? So we here, you know, we want to be as accurate as possible and share the news, you know, what's been going on around the country, around the world, you know, and from a black perspective, alternative black perspective, meaning it's not the mainstream. So hit us up and let us know your thoughts. Like I say, the number is 929-477-1697. But yeah, y'all, it's been a few things going on this week. Y'all let me know what y'all want to talk about. We got, you know, mass shootings happening. We got police killings. We got the Derek Chauvin trial. You know, the verdict should be dropping next week. You know, it's been protests all over. A young man was shot in Chicago here recently. I think he was a 13-year-old young boy that got shot in Chicago. You got the woman that shot the man, said she was grabbing for a taser, and she shot the young man. Where was that at? Now, that was in Minneapolis, actually, yeah. I just remember. That was in Minneapolis, not too far from where they holding the Derek Chauvin trial, which is the cop that killed George Floyd. So that verdict should be coming. Then you got the officer that killed the young man, like I say, saying she was reaching for the taser, you know, her side of the story or whatnot, and killed him. So it's been protests all over Minnesota, Chicago, New York, Portland. You got Black Lives Matter back in the streets. You got, what's her name? Maxine Waters, the people... You know how they always throw Maxine Waters in there. She's ahead of Black Lives Matter, let folks tell it. But she did, you know, make some controversial comments, I guess, coming from Nayan, and they trying to say she was inciting a riot. But we got all that going on. And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine then got pulled this week. They were saying people was getting blood clots. They were saying only 6 people, which I find that very unlikely, but, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. Y'all let me know what y'all want to touch on, and we'll hit the call lines in a second. So what y'all got, what y'all want to speak on?
It is what it is.
Anything in particular pressing y'all?
Oh, I know, like you said, it's a few things that's pressing. I, for one, you know, think people should be on a heightened alert, too, not just with the police brutality, but with these mass shootings. Since Friday, we've had 2 more. So on Friday, the count was at 45 mass shootings in the past 30 days. Now we have 47 mass shootings within the past 30 days, and just in the United States alone. And they don't think this is going to stop. They've already predicted that it's going to be more. So just please be on, you know, just be on high alert. Be watchful. If you notice anything strange, it's better to be safe than sorry. You better just act on your instincts and pay attention, because it's getting deep out here, and so you don't want to get caught up in no foolishness. And they just going off the gate. Just soon they, like with the young man at FedEx, when he pulled up in the parking lot, they say he just started handling his business right then and there. And then he went inside. So it can be. So just pay attention to your surroundings, no matter where you are. I know here we're in Missouri, we've been having a lot of active shootings on the highway. So you just have to be watchful and just be on red alert, because, I mean, it's a lot of chaos going on around the world, period. A lot of people is frustrated. A lot of people is angry. A lot of people is just more risky, you know, right now. So just pay attention to that. I just found that very interesting that we had so many mass shootings reported within this small amount of time, and it's steady going on. Like I said, since Friday, we've had 2 more. And that's different from just the police shootings. So that's a whole nother ball game. So it's just a lot going on but, you know, I can leave it there. But, you know, I'll let you guys bring up some different things. But I know I wanted to just kind of mention that in regards to the mass shootings. And we can based on the gun violence, if you guys like, because that's totally different from the police brutality. But that needs to be discussed as well.
Yes, indeed. Do you want to respond, Brother Mufas?
Sure. I'm in agreement. Watch out for the mass shootings. You know, pack your heat if you feel you need to, and be ready to pull and bust that thing if something go down. That's all I can say about the mass shootings. I mean, you can't avoid them. You never know when something's going to jump off. So, you know, you got to keep your eyes open and be ready to flee, or be ready to you know, shoot back if you can. You know, that's the best advice I can give you on that one. Now, in regards to these shootings that's going on, you know, I'm about to make some people mad.
Uh-oh.
I already know I'm about to make some people mad. I'm tired of it. Listen.
I'm about to mute my phone.
As we become more free, we become more problematic. I'm just keeping it real. Look, I watched the shooting of the 13-year-old running from the police. I watched the shooting of the guy struggling and tussling and trying to break away from the police. I am not going to keep defending people that's running from the police and then they get shot. All I'm going to do is start chucking it up as suicide by cop. I don't care what color you is. And, yeah, I know I'm going to hear that it always happens to black people. I already know. So, hey, if we know that always happened to black people, well, maybe black people need to get the message and quit trying to run. Quit trying to run. Quit trying to resist. Quit trying to voice your opinion. Just realize that you're behind enemy lines. And when them boys is on you, you cold. Just give up. Give up. Golly. I mean, you ain't going to get away. You know, if you want to sit up here and argue the fact that it happens, it always happens to black people, not white people. Okay, like I said, well, if you know this, then you should really be on high alert when you pulled over. You should be like those super, like, I already know if I run, I'm getting shot. So apparently when you run, you must want to die. You rolling the dice. You gambling that you ready to die that day. When they pull you over and you got lip to talk, blah, blah, blah. Look, I remember when I was a kid and my mama would tell me, you know, hey, don't do this, don't do that. One particular time, I was mad because I had to wash the dishes. And she was like, you going to wash them dishes. And I was mad and I kicked her sink. Bam! And she said, oh, you kicking stuff? Kick my sink one more time. And I kicked it three times. Bam, bam, bam. And the law came down on my head. Next thing I know, she was choking me. She was strangling me. So, people, listen. These police have been given the authority. I know you don't like it. And I don't like it either. But unfortunately, in this place that we live in, they have been given the authority to G-check you. So you can either get checked and just go ahead and, you know, be like Red with Debo and let your chain get snatched. Or you can try to fight back and you know what's possibly going to happen. You're going to lose your life. Then once you lose your life, some of us out here tearing up stuff, howling Black Lives Matter, like somebody's really listening to you. They don't really care about you doing all that screaming and yelling. You ain't changing nothing. We've been screaming and yelling. First we was protesting. All right, that didn't work. Now you're screaming and yelling and trying to tear up stuff. It still ain't stopping people from getting shot. It ain't going to change. So the best thing you can do is take your own life into your hands and say, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me not to get murdered. So when I was when that 13-year-old boy, for whatever his foolish reason was, running down the alley, maybe now he's looking down on his body saying, damn, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have ran. Maybe I should just stop. But because I ran, hey, I rolled the dice and I crapped out. Maybe when they had old boy handcuffed in Minnesota, he looking down at himself saying, damn, I should just went on ahead and let them put the cuffs on me and got on in the car. I may still be alive. But no, I snatched away and jumped in my car to try to run like I was going to get somewhere. And the dumb lady, because I'm not forgiving her and her actions, but because she snatched away and jumped in the car, that gave dumb woman cop the opportunity to put one in his body. Had he just went on ahead, put the cuffs on, got his ASS in the car, she wouldn't have made that accidental shooting, quote unquote, accidental shooting. Like I said, you gave her the opportunity to do something to you when you snatched away, you fool. If I could, boy, I swear it just irritates me. Because I'm tired of taking up for these people. I'm just tired of it. I'm not gonna keep doing it. When you run, I just know that, hey, you took your life and you gambled, and if you get killed, you lost. You know what I'm saying? You lost. It's unfortunate, but you lost. So, hey, like I said, seems like as we become more free, we become more problematic running from the police. I can see, look, I'm going to say this right quick, and then I'm going to pass the mic. I can see like it was back in the slave days when they was running from lynchings. Okay, that's one thing. You know if they catch you, it ain't no ifs, ands, or but about it. You're dead. That's different. That's different. But in these situations, just take your ass to jail. Golly. You know what I'm saying? Don't give these fools an opportunity to kill you over something so small and petty as a traffic violation. Outside of Philando Castile, a lot of these other shootings I've seen could have been avoided. I'm just saying, for real, it could have been avoided had you not done something stupid, like talking reckless with the police or trying to run. Name any case, and I guarantee you I can say, oh, that's where the dude or the woman messed up at. Drop a name, and eight times out of ten, I can tell you where that person messed up at, where they said, damn, they rude, they rolled the dice with their life instead of just shutting up and going into custody. So that's what's on my mind today. Now, I pass the mic. Everybody can beat up on me if you like.
because we talked about this before, and you know, per the code book, you know, we should comply when we pulled over by the police. Because like you say, if you look at it in terms of war, and this is warfare, if you're behind enemy lines, then you are just caught. You know what I'm saying? Now, like you said, if you just want to do a suicide by a cop, that's one thing. If you just about that life and you just want to go to war with them, then, you know, that's a decision that each individual got to make. But if you're trying to survive, you don't want to give these people no reason. You get pulled over and you didn't do nothing. What are you running for? If you just got a little, you know, a little punk ass warrant or something, you know, what are you running for? And if you did do something, what are you running for? So it's like, no, just comply, shut your mouth, and am I being arrested? All right. You want the cuffs in the front or the back? How you going to take them? And just keep it moving. But I don't think people are defending them running from the police and whatnot and resisting arrest or whatnot. I think it's the fact that we see how what gets those people riled up or whatnot is the way they see, you know, white perpetrators being treated versus black perpetrators. And we know that when it comes to white people being accosted by the police, they get a certain level of leeway that ain't afforded to black people. But like you say, we should already know what time it is, and we have to work accordingly, you know, so we can fight another day. So, no, I'm right on point. I'm right with you. But I still think in a lot of instances the police are wrong, because there are a lot of ways you can de-escalate those situations, and a lot of times, you know, they provoke people. You know, they do little things like that without being the professional, being a person that's sworn to oath and whatnot, and trying to de-escalate the situation or let the courts handle the crime. You know, if they did something, then arrest them, take them down, and have the courts decide, you know. But people see the discrepancies, and I think that's what kind of get people riled up. But, yeah, at the end of the day, as far as black people go, we got to understand what type of situation we in, you know, who has the power, who's in control, and understand that, you know, we gotta play the game. You know what I'm saying? If the police get up on you, play the game, yeah.
And just for clarity, because I know I have to say this like two or three times because my words be getting misconstrued. I am by no means saying that these cops are right in what they did. Let me throw that out there, because I already know somebody going to say, I'm giving the police a pass. No, I'm not giving them a pass. Like I said with the dodo woman who act like she don't know the difference between the taser and the gun, I'm not giving her a pass. But what I am saying is two or three steps before that, had the young man not snatched away, the door couldn't have came open for a dumb lady to mistakenly, quote, pull her gun and shoot him. So, because like I say, if it was me, if I was a cop, I would handle it differently. You know what I'm saying? I like to be hands-on. So, you know, a good strong arm whooping is something I would give you over pulling my gun or my taser. Right. You know, I say this story real quick, too. I remember when a friend of mine, her son, and some of his friends was riding around in a stolen car right here in St. Louis. They riding around joyriding in a stolen car. Her son had never been in no trouble before, but he just wanted to ride with the bad crew and got himself in a bad situation. So the police get on him. They tried to run. They tried to run before they been in the car, jumped out the car in the alley. Everybody took off running. The cop chasing her son, which, like I say, had never been in no mess before, but he running because everybody else did. The police officer caught him, and when he caught him, put it on him. He gave him a couple. And
right. She
was upset about it. And I had to remind her, I said, listen, I know you mad because your son got his butt whooped. But you know that cop could have shot your son, and your son would be dead. We would be arguing that was he right or wrong in what he did. And as we arguing that, guess what? Your son still ain't coming back. Whether we prove that the cop was right or wrong, we still can't get your son life back.
Right.
So be glad he just got that butt kicking and not a bullet in his behind. So that's how I would have put it on him, too, to teach him a lesson. Like, boy, what is you doing? It's like he was my son. You out here riding around the stolen car, then I tell you to run. What would you, if your mama, your daddy told you, come get that stick and come here, and you run. If your parent had to chase you, what happened?
It was worse.
If your mama had to chase you, from a whooping, and she caught you, was it nice?
No.
It ain't nice. So you already know you better not run from your parent. And I hate to use that analogy. I know people don't like that, but I'm just saying the police unfortunately got that power to tell you freeze, stop, do this and the third. So when you get to running, and they catch you, just be expecting a tail or, kick. Hopefully that's all you're getting. You don't get murdered. So, but I just wanted to throw that disclaimer out to let people know I am not forgiving these cops for what they did. No way in shape or form or fashion am I saying that. But I am saying a step or two before that, possibly, depending on the situation, the person involved could have prevented from escalating and them losing their life. So I just wanted to say that and make sure that was clear.
Yes, indeed.
I would like to just quickly just kind of talk about the opposite side or the side that Mufasa didn't mention. Because I think even with what he's saying, his suggestions, although they are good suggestions, I'm still bothered by the fact that there's times, a lot of times, when you can still comply, you can still be nice, and they'll still do something ill. Even if it's not to kill you, which is the worst part of it, but they still, pepper spray you like they did the lieutenant. They'll still do mean, cruel things to you. And I just hate that we have to be subjected to that type of, behavior. Of course nobody wants to die. That's the most extreme parts that we're talking about now. But what about the in-between things, just the regular physical abuse, that they try to treat you like you're not human. They try to talk about you all crazy, talk to you all crazy and, just kind of dehumanize you, treat you bad and all this type of stuff too. I think those are still valid issues to also bring up, because that will hopefully if we can deal with that, how we treat people and those types of interactions, I think that can prevent a lot of the killings and the deaths and things like that. I think everybody has a responsibility, like Mufasa said. It's not just on the people that's getting pulled over, the community, but also the police. Everybody has to be willing to make a change and do the right thing, and that's really what it's about, doing the right thing. The officers, although I understand how Mufasa was putting it and all that, and it's sad to hear him say it that way. You know, get a whooping, and it's like, dang, you know, they have a job, you know, to stop crime. I get it, but it's out of control. Everything is out of control. You know, I think they still should be mindful of how they treat people and still do that. They can still do their job right. But just like just using the lieutenant as an example, you know, the way the officer was talking, and this, and I'm using him, this situation as an example, which is a good example because this happens all the time where the police officers are just rude and talk to people any kind of way, like they better than them, like they children, and they people human. Nobody likes that, you know. So wrong or right, it can have the potential when you're provoking someone. It has the potential to escalate the issue, and I think the police officers should try to de-escalate the issues. And when you're coming up to somebody screaming and yelling, this is a grown man, a lieutenant. And you coming up to somebody yelling and talking crazy, it's like, dang. You know, so I think
I'm sorry to cut you off. I was just going to say, in your opinion, how do you feel, the lieutenant handled the situation correctly? Or you think he could have done something differently?
I mean, of course, there's always different things that could have been done, you know. But I think
Which incident y'all talking about?
The lieutenant where they pepper sprayed him. Where they pepper sprayed the lieutenant.
Yeah, the army.
I think he
handled the situation okay.
I think he handled it okay, and I'm not gonna even lie. At the end, when it sounded like he was agreeing with what they were saying, that bothered me. You know, but you know, I'm not gonna, you know, make that out to be a big deal. But I personally think he handled it okay as far as pulling over. He wasn't yelling, he had his hands out where they can see his hands. You know, he wasn't being rude to them. You know, I think they were the aggressors. They were more arrogant, talking crazy, quoting doggone fighters. He quoting movie things, talking about you about to meet the lightning or something like that. It's like
he said you about to ride the lightning ride.
Yeah, you about to ride the lightning. It's like, what is he? Is he from a Marvel movie or something? It's like he think he's in a comic book or something. It's like you about to ride the lightning. He's like, what?
Right.
Have y'all followed up on that story? Have y'all done any follow up to see
He filed a lawsuit. Yeah, I think the lieutenant filed a lawsuit last I heard, and it had he won a lawsuit because this happened I want to say back in December last year, and the video just now surfacing, but this happened a few months ago or whatnot. So, but I think he had a lawsuit against him
the one thing I like in his story though. Is he kept his life, and he lived to file a lawsuit. You know, now those cops right there, the exact ones where he could have been like, "Don't put your mama hand on me," and he'd have been dead. Types right there, those the ones that he could have, if he didn't keep his calm, and he did or said the wrong thing, that man would be dead right now. And no matter how much protesting we did, we would not be able to bring him back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he did keep a calm head, and we can, people can say he was cooning the softest and the third, but one thing, he ain't dead, and he was able to file his lawsuit and get that officer fired instead of losing his life over debt.
Right. That's a fact. Yeah, family. So, we here at this Collective Minds Radio. That was our brother Mufasa Ra and Queen Rigel. Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev, and we'll get to the call lines here in a second. Now, I did want to touch on the mass shooting thing as well real quick. just, you know, for the family. So they define a mass shooting as a shooting incident with four or more victims, for the most part, either injured or killed. So they saying that that it's been like over 40 mass shootings in the U.S. in the past 30 days, I believe, something like that. So the numbers are crazy. Yeah, 47. Yeah, so, you know, the numbers are crazy. You know, there is, as we know, more guns in America than it is actual people. You know what I'm saying? They say it's like 3 to 4 guns produced for, you know, for each citizen. And the one thing that the media is not touching on, which they got to connect the dots, that a lot of these shootings, not all of them, but a lot of them are done by either, you know, confessed white supremacists or suspected white supremacists. And that's a real thing that people need to talk about. Like, people want to talk about the gun issue, but I think that's actually a deflection from the white male psychology that are committing these crimes, you know, for the most part. And that's something that needs to address because, again, the, you know, the white European American male feels a certain type of way. He feel like, you know, immigrants, black people, whoever are getting ahead of him, you know, at the expense of, quote-unquote, the liberal government. They think the government is too easy. You know, they having a hard time with women. These be loners. They be, you know, white supremacist extremists. And they be having a lot of psychological issues, inferiority complexes. And that is a lot of white males in this country. And I think that needs to be addressed more so than actual gun control. You know what I'm saying? We need to address that problem. The FBI already said that they've been infiltrated law enforcement. They've been infiltrated the government. So these people are the most dangerous group in America, you know what I'm saying, which is a white male from, you know, 18 to 30, or I would say 18 to 50, you know, which is the most dangerous group. And the media, yeah, and the media is really quiet on it. They don't want to address it. You know, they coddle these suspects and shooters, these, you know, these guys, they use light words, they try to humanize them and make them babies and cheer, you know what I'm saying? They just do all type of things to give them that image, oh, this was just a loner, when a lot of these people be involved in these different cells and networks, they be on these chat rooms, you know, 4chan and Reddit, and all they do is talk about black people and talk about other non-white people all day, and then they end up doing the shooting. Like this dude that did the shooting at FedEx, who was a suspected white, actually he was a confirmed white supremacist based on his social media. You know, this dude was, they say he was on the FBI profile, you know, for some of the stuff that he was saying, but they let these guys, you know, get away with these things until the incident happened, and then they want to, you know, be like, yeah, he was on the radar and whatnot, when the situation probably could have been prevented. But I say all that to say, you know, we only 4.5 months into the year, and already we are back to business as normal in America. And when I say business as normal, business as usual, I'm talking about mass shootings and police killings. You know, this is where we at. We right back to business as usual. Nothing's changed. We gotta remember that there's a political agenda with these police shootings as well. Like, you got the liberals on one hand. Yeah, exactly. You got the liberals on one hand. You got Antifa. You got Black Lives Matter. You know, and then you got the conservatives on the other hand. So there's a political agenda with these shootings that I recognize as well, and I try not to get too caught up in. So I just wanted to put that out there. We back to business as usual with the mass shootings and the police killings. And I think it's going to be a long, hot summer, depending on how this Derek Chauvin trial turns out. We're going to see how the summer goes, though. That's going to set the tone, in my opinion.
Okay, what's the trial? What's your prediction with the trial?
Okay, we'll get everybody prediction here real quick, and then we'll hit the call line. I think he's going to either get off or he's going to get convicted less than 10 years. So that's my prediction. Either he's going to get off, they're going to throw the trial, or he's going to get less than 10. And I'll let y'all go. That's my prediction on that one.
That's what you think.
10 to 20, manslaughter.
Oh, wow.
All right. And then what you got, Roger?
Yeah, I'm really hoping Mufasa right and wrong, actually, because I think the man really deserved life. But I'm more concerned. I honestly don't know. This is a tough one for me, but I am worried and concerned that it's going to be what Brother Care predicted. Meaning they're going to find a way to throw the trial, or he's going to get off easy. Because 10 years is getting off, in my opinion, because of the crime that he committed. I personally think that he needs to be locked up, and his attorney needs to be locked up, and anybody who agree with him needs to. I think they all need to go, because that's a spirit of energy that don't need to be around nobody, because he just went off and killed that man like that with no remorse. That was hateful. So that type of hateful, evil energy just don't need to be around. And like I said the last time, I don't feel safe with people like that in the world, because that's where how you get these mass shootings and stuff like that, because they cold hearted and they don't care about life and other people. So that's how you can do stuff like that. So those types of people with that type of energy, they need to be done away with. And anybody that feels like that, they need to go.
Right. And just so real quick, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I was just going to say, a part of me, I kind of want, you know, a part of me want Derek Chauvin to get off.
Don't say it.
Because I'm going to go ahead and say it, because I think black people need a wake-up call, and I think we need to get pissed off, because it seems like we only start doing something. We always want to react to things and keep reacting. So a part of me wants him to just, you know, they can just be not guilty so we can see what it is. Like, we still not getting it. As many cops get off and whatnot, for some reason, we're still not connecting the dots and getting. I would love you to be so fed up that we do something different in response to these shootings. You know, I want us to have a different response to these shootings. So part of me does want him to get off. I just put that out there. And that's Brother Kev. You know, but we'll see. We'll get y'all posted, and we'll see. We'll see how things work out. Family, y'all want to hit the call lines, or did y'all have anything y'all want to touch on? Or let's get it.
Hit the call line. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, buddy.
Call.
You know, I'm going to tell you guys something. What in the world is a 13-year-old kid doing in the alley? Now, actually, this was in Little Village, the Latino, where the Latin Kings reside. And they flat out told blacks, don't be coming over in our community. Matter of fact, I've showed you videos where blacks tried to drive through there. They shot up the car. It crashed and burned. And they told some black women that was driving through there to get the heck out, basically. It's on video. But anyway, the kid had gunpowder residue on his hand. And there was reports of people standing shooting at cars out of the alley or something of that nature.
Right.
Now, it's very dangerous. Because I was driving my car there on Cass Avenue, right there at Grand, and I went past the service station, the gas station, and some kids threw brick out and hit the side of my car out between two houses.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's friend was driving down the street on the 4th of July, and she had a window down on the driver's side. Some kid threw a rock, a brick or something, and hit it upside the head. Luckily, it didn't hurt her that bad. So, and Denise Times, you remember Father Lou Times?
Oh, yeah, I know. That was, her daughter, I mean, Denise's sister was my friend's good friend. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us. I know about
she
that.
She got killed like that, too, driving down over there off of Sarah, one block south from Page. I don't know what the name of that street is. I believe that's the street. And she got hit by a stray bullet.
Yeah. From a few blocks away, she was driving up New Year's Eve.
Yeah, this kid and a 21-year-old was apparently involved in that. Now, the 21-year-old needs to be charged with the delinquency of a minor and charged with the murder also, the death, that is. And I hope they do that. That's the way it should go down.
And it was
now,
like
as far as
we're in the alley, too, right?
2:30.
Yeah, 3 in the morning, that was crazy. A 13-year-old shouldn't be out that time of the night. And the adult he was with wasn't even a relative of his.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
I just heard they say he was 21. Now, as far as that lieutenant, that older cop, he was totally in the wrong. That man was so much in the wrong, he was stupid. Especially at the end when he's trying to coerce the lieutenant and not telling. And he's on tape doing it.
Right.
He's
right.
Like, if you don't tell, everything will be all right. Now, I tell you what now, when the lieutenant pulled up there on the service station lot, he should have let the windows down and turned the interior lights on. Because although he had a paper tag on the back of his vehicle, it was inside that glass, and it was heavily tinted. And when the police officer that was following him, the young cop, said that he couldn't see it or didn't see it, I could believe that. But other than that, that's the only thing I've seen that he could have done. But he was pretty cool, man. But I tell you what I would have done if I was the lieutenant, after they got through kicking him on the leg, I would have laid down and told him to send me an ambulance.
Right, right.
It would make his case better. Deontay, Minnesota. That lady cop didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to tell you why. Deontay was on paper. Armed criminal action. Attempted murder. Attempted by choking. I don't know y'all read the stories or not, but apparently him and another guy was at a party, and he didn't have no way to get home, so the two women let him stay at their place. And come morning, they were supposed to leave. One lady left, went to the ATM to get rent money with $820, brought it back and gave it to the other lady, and she went on to work. The other lady put it in her personal safe, which is a bra, and Deontay and the other guy tried to take it from her.
Oh,
and when
dang.
She wouldn't give it to him, they made her get on her knees, and he started choking her and put a gun up against her. Well, he already had a felony account, or should I say he was on probation, and wasn't supposed to be no place near guns. All right? And he missed court dates.
Well, he didn't have a gun, did he? The guy Deontay Wright, he didn't have a gun, did he? I'm missing up.
Yeah, it was a gun in the car from what I understand. Now, hang on. When you pull a car over, you run the plates. And the computers are going to bring back information. And it probably brought back information for the female cop, felony warrant, then a description of why. Well, let me ask you something. If you're police, you pull a car over and the information come back like that, the next thing you do is call for backup. Well, backup was already there. When you approach the car, you don't have a taser out. You have a gun in your hand. Why? Because the details that was given on the computer about the driver, and it may not be the owner of the car, but it said that he had a felony warrant and gave a description of he was on the parole, not supposed to have guns, and gun violations, and blah, blah, blah.
Right, so with all that being said, why do you think that she was, you know, she started copping pleas earlier saying that she was reaching for a taser? You know,
and she was probably in an adrenaline height. Yeah. Well, here's another
and
point, too, like Mustafa said. All he had to do was comply and bit the cuffs
right.
on. He ain't going, and they can't let him go. What is he going to run to?
Yeah.
He could have got, he might have ran off and hit an innocent car, like I've seen that happen before. But if he had went on and complied, he'll be alive today. Simple as that.
Right.
More likely than not.
Right.
Now, here's
right,
another
right.
point. At what point in time do these suspects have to show accountability? These suspects that participate in these behaviors and actions that lead to some type of gun, some weapon enforcement, they lose their life
right.
or somebody else lose their life.
But
suspects need to be accountable, and they need to be charged with accessory or some sort of helping to spur on the end results. And
the
there's a lot of videos on that.
The suspects are held accountable because they get shot and are killed. But when are the police are going to be held accountable? You know, in a lot of
the
these
police,
cases, the police are never held accountable. It's
well,
always
if police do something wrong, there is... If police are doing something wrong, then yes, they should be. But
right.
here's the thing. You know, like you say, if you got every person out there on the street, like you just had tonight, had somebody drive by, some Minnesota National Guard and the local police in Minneapolis, and do a drive-by shooting on them. You know, these people crazy. You messing with the wrong folks now when you start messing with the National Guard. They don't play.
Right, right, right. Somebody did it, and people online trying to blame Maxine Waters for that.
Well, she should for being silent. If Trump was in office,
oh,
they'd be
no.
blaming him. Just think
then
about
that's
it.
That's what they're saying. That's
another
they're
point,
saying.
And I'm just about done because I know you got a lot of callers coming in tonight.
Yes, sir.
Some of this stuff, you know, it's just totally ridiculous. You had a black mass shooter in Austin, Texas today.
Right, right. He's a former, what was he? He was a lieutenant or something too, I believe.
Was he in the military?
I believe so.
I don't know.
So, I had to,
so people talk about there ain't no such thing as black mass shooters. If not. And there's another thing too, and I think whoever that collective.
No, he was a detective. I'm sorry, he was a detective. But,
whoever the collective email is, I sent you a whole lot of emails of white people being shot too, even when they're running. But the news don't show it. You know why? Because if whites were to riot and burn up stuff the way blacks is doing, it wouldn't be nothing left every time one of theirs got shot.
Mm-hmm.
But they
right,
get
but
you.
I talk
look.
To white people about that. I didn't talk to white
well,
people
they
about
would...
that. They be like, they ain't what they believe in law enforcement. They don't be tripping off of that like we do.
I sent you a video of a Nashville, a black woman being stopped by the police, pulled her over, and the cop said there was a warrant for. Whoever, well, anyway, she's on the phone calling her mama to come to the spot. He has her get out the car. You know the first thing she asked him, can I go use the bathroom? Yeah, I ain't lying. I'll tell you what. Look at the video. Then things went on. He got a purse. So going through a purse and found some drugs and something else. Then he told her, well, I'm going to have to, you know, we're going to have to take you in. Then that's when everything went crazy. This woman was scared of handcuffs. She ran around the car in circles two times. Then she got
I
in the car.
I think we've seen this video. Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't that something else? Yeah. Then she go
yeah,
in the car
we got it.
And
yeah.
he tases her. All right. Taser didn't have no effect. And she comes up with a gun and shoots the police officer, and he fires back and shoots her. And she dies, collapses when she drives off.
Right, right. Yeah, we
that
should have
been on the news. Mm-hmm. They showed a police officer doing what he's supposed to do, or should we think he's supposed to do, but the end result is crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
Yes, it does go on. Actually, to be realistic, it's a human thing. Only in the United States, for whatever reason, and we can throw a lot of them out there, that it has developed into this thing here of black and white. And another point, you just had this carjacker just got killed by the police here within a few hours ago, and they didn't mention his color in the news. When they don't mention skin color, guess what? It's usually a white suspect. But it's a black suspect, black man shot by white police, and on and on and on.
Right, right.
I see you guys later.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate it.
Right on, brother.
Right on. Yeah, he made some good points, but even with all that he said, it's still disproportionately police target black people. That's just what it is. We don't get the luxury or the benefit of the doubt. You know, white people get, you know, they get treated different generally by the police. Let's just call it what it is. They're able to get away with way more. So, yeah, white people are not going to trip off of, because for the most part, the police officer are on the side of the white person. Perfect example. If you have a white male standing and you have a black dead body, let's say a black male on the ground, police pull up, they don't know what happened. The white man says, hey, it was self-defense. You have witnesses say, no, he shot him in cold blood. More than likely, the white person is going to be granted that benefit of the doubt. Sir, just give us a statement. You say it was self-defense. It was self-defense. Now, similar case just happened to a brother that on the south side that got killed by an older white man, and he's still not arrested. The police basically took a statement from him saying it was self-defense, when witnesses were saying it was something else. Now, let's reverse the roles. If I'm a black man and there's a white man laying dead that I just shot, and I'd be like, no, you know, sir, this was self-defense, more than likely they're going to take me down. You know, they're going to charge me with something. Be like, you know, we'll let the judge figure that out or whatnot, but you're going to get arrested. We got to, you know, do this and do that. And that's going to happen 9 out of 10 times in those situations.
Ten out of nine times.
Yeah. So let's not act like, you know, that there's no discrepancies in the way that the police treat black suspects as opposed to the way they treat white suspects. It just is what it is, and I think at this point, you know, black, we should know what it is and move accordingly, make adjustments and move accordingly. But they're giving the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, white suspects do get shot and killed by the police, but it's definitely not to the extent of how black people are targeted. But
I got to say this right quick. I got to add this right quick. My opinion is this, that a lot of these things happen in lower income communities, because you don't see all these shootings and stuff like this. You don't see this happening to, you know, well-to-do black people. When was the last time y'all heard about, you know, such and such Joe Blow black man who's a doctor and was in his Lexus and got gunned down by the police, or Betty Jean that was in her Benz, doctor, they got gunned down. They be abusing people and doing people bad and lower income communities, because they feel like people don't care about you anyway. So they feel like they can treat you, slap you around, do you bad any kind of way. And that's in poor white communities and poor black communities. And I agree with you, you know, what you say, it is disproportionate, but I'm looking at the fact of where do these cases happen at? A lot of times these things happen to people who we would consider lower income type people. They don't happen to well-to-do people. You know, you can get somebody that get pulled over and they say, oh, man, you just pulled me up because I'm black. But you don't get shot or beat up. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen. These people be getting abused because they feel like they can do you any kind of way because you ain't got no money. You just poor trash. And who cares? You know, I remember watching this video where the white cop, and I think I sent that to y'all, where he slapped the one, the white kid, because the white kid was, you know, asked him, why do you need my car keys? You know, I'm not going to give you my car keys. And the cop just slapped him, you know, and talked to him, man, talked to him foul. I can't believe he slapped that dude like that. Man, he just took his, just sucked his manhood right out of him. He only did that because he was poor white trash. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So in my opinion, you got to add that in, too, that they pick on people who they think ain't got no money, too, who they think just poor.
Right.
You know, don't nobody care about them. So they, you know, they be a little harsher on them type of people, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, on the flip side of that, that's true to a certain extent. But we have seen videos of black people in well-to-do neighborhoods, whether they live there, got business there. You know, it was a few times where a few black realtors was checking on their properties and whatnot in, you know, middle-class neighborhoods, and people called the police on them, and the police came up and, you know, harassing them, throwing them off their day and stuff like that. So you may not see a lot of shootings and killings, but black people are harassed by the police, even in middle-class neighborhoods or white neighborhoods, if they feel like, you know, you don't belong here. So those incidents do happen. Even
Facts.
With the professor, remember a while ago with the professor, with Henry Gates, you know, he was trying to get into his own home and his neighbors called the police on him. And I'm sure he lived in a nice neighborhood. He's a professor, you know, a tenured professor. So he was accosted by the police and they, you know, was handcuffed and stuck in a car, and then they had to have a bear summit with Obama. So it happens with athletes, you know what I'm saying, who are rich and have money. They get, you know, their share of abuse and whatnot. So
I'm saying, why in them cases, why come they don't get murdered? That's all I'm saying. Why they don't get shot down by the police?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, but a lot of times,
all the shootings happen to poorer people. You know, they don't kill. It's a certain group of people that don't get murdered. Every time we look up all these killings, it's always people of lowest, you know, income status, for lack of a better word. They don't be shooting doctors and lawyers around here and slapping them and, you know, killing them.
It's a certain type of folks that
get
murdered.
And
I'm just wondering why.
Why is that?
Right.
Yes, indeed. So this is just hot off the press. This is, I guess, news from today. Actually, the shooting that I was referencing earlier that happened here in South St. Louis in Dutchtown, where a neighbor, a white male, 63 years old, shot a young black male, Craig Williams, 23 years old, and he hasn't been arrested. Now, this was weeks ago, and he's just now being arrested, I believe, today. So this is hot off the press. So even the fact that he was allowed to just linger and go about his business after he committed a murder says a lot. You know what I'm saying? Again, if that was me or any black male, we're going to get run down. We're going to go to trial, and they go figure out who was right and who was wrong at the trial. With this, they gave this man the benefit of the doubt, even when witnesses were saying that he shot him in cold blood. The original story was the brother was beating. He was having an argument with his girlfriend. He put his hands on his girlfriend, and then the white neighbor, intervened and shot him. That was the quote-unquote story that he was going with, the neighbor. But the girlfriend said on the news that no, she said, yes, we were arguing, but he didn't put his hands on me. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't beating me. And that's according to the girlfriend. So with
Hold on.
With all that
evidence,
he should have been,
was white, too. It's important
to
know that
his girlfriend was white. Yes. Yeah, that is important information. His girlfriend was white. He was black, and the neighbor was white. So, again, a lot of times, like y'all know Brother Kev, I study white supremacy. You know, they really feel intimidated when a black male messes with a white woman. So I think, in my opinion, I believe that that has something to do with this particular case. But again, the point of the story is he's just now being arrested, and this happened a week or two ago. You know, but you know what? Black people are not afforded that luxury, even if it was self-defense. You know, you're going to get arrested. You might get a bail, might not. But we're going to go to trial to see what happens. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, that just happened. So he did get charged with, let me see, he got charged with manslaughter. No, I'm sorry, he got charged with second-degree murder on Friday. Second-degree murder on Friday, so that is good. Yeah, no, armed criminal, okay, yeah, armed criminal action and second-degree murder, okay. Yep, that makes sense, but I digress, you feel me? Y'all want to hit the call lines or what?
Okay, area code 319-572, calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
I have a couple comments. 13-year-old boy, I blame his parents he's dead. Because if she has that much energy to raise holy sand after that and hold all these rallies, where was all that energy to keep his little butt in the house? Where is his dad? Or, you know, his parents. Because if that was my boy at 13, he ain't out the house at past no midnight. I'll break his little leg.
Right. Right, right.
And then about the Army lieutenant, I think he messed up because he failed to follow direction. They initiated the traffic stop as a felony. And at a felony traffic stop, they tell you to turn off your vehicle, throw your key, get out the vehicle. Pull your shirt up, turn around, get on the ground. How hard is that? Not very hard. And a lot of these people are getting shot because they are trying to hold court on the side of the road. They're there to pick you up for a warrant. They're not there to discuss your warrant with you. They're just, hey, you got a warrant. So what makes you think you're going to walk away? And I'm tired of black people or people of color talking about, oh, he was a good kid. He was a good person. If he was such a good kid, he wouldn't have been out there at 2-something in the morning shooting that car and running from the police. If they were such a good person, they wouldn't be in there trying to spend fake money that they know is fake. They wouldn't be committing the crime that they commit if they were good people.
And then,
like I say again, you guys yell about the criminal element in your neighborhood, then you get mad when the police do something. You can't have it both ways.
No, because
so,
the police.
And all these people talking
mess
about the police, when they get pushed in the corner, who you think they're going to call? The police. And they're going to expect the police to come out and defend you? When you've been talking all kinds of stuff about, I wouldn't respond. If I was a cop and I knew y'all was out here protesting me, and then I knew you for a fact was one of them, and you going to call me for my help? No. You on your own. Deal with your own problem. But the biggest thing is black people need to quit holding court on the side of the road. Let the cop do his job. And if you know you're dirty, you got weed, drugs in the car, then that gives you more reason to comply. And your attitude is what's going to make them say, get out the car or not. If they walk up, because I've had cops who walked up on me with their gun, with their hands on their gun, because they didn't know what to expect. And when they got up there, and found out that I was being polite and nice to him, it threw him completely off. And this was a rookie trying to get his strike. And it threw him off. And you know what? They don't mess with me anymore. Because there's no fun messing with me, and I'm not out here committing crimes, creating warrants. I did get caught up with a warrant. And you know what? The sheriff, he handcuffed me up front, let me have my phone for the whole ride to get to the jail. Guess what? There's a clerical error, Mr. Kellum. We're going to let you go. I'm going to take you back out to Big Hollow where I picked you up with your truck and your dog. Because I didn't know who was on the side of the road. I did not argue with him. I just went.
Right.
And I was sleeping 10 days. I'm like, 10 days ain't nothing. I can go to sleep for 10 days. That's a vacation. But like I said, it turned out to be a clerical error, and they brought me back because I didn't give them no fuss. And they handcuffed me up front, even with my record.
Right.
And let me have my phone the whole time. So,
gotcha. So now let me just say this.
One more thing. When we was younger, me and my brother was out horse around in an alley. He had a pellet gun. I had a toy gun. I spray painted my toy gun black so it looked like a real gun. It was dark.
Right.
Police pulled up on me and my brother. He shines a light on us. We look. We see his gun out. He says, drop the gun. You know what me and my brother did? We dropped the gun.
Right.
And stepped back. And all they did was tell us to go home. They took his pellet gun, even though it wasn't loaded. They took it. But we went home that night. No arrest, no nothing. He just told us to go home.
Well, that's good because Tamir Rice, you know, wasn't afforded those same luxuries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you want to know why? Because he walked up on the cop like he was going to pull it.
No, he did not.
You take a gun and you spray paint it, the orange off, it looks like a real gun from a distance. And when you're walking up on an officer who's already on 10 because he's getting a call about someone with a gun, and you walk up to the officer like you're going to pull it on him, you just committed suicide.
No, that's not what happened. Right, but
no,
that's not
what happened
in this case.
He walked up and the kid acted like he was going to pull it on the cop. And the cop shot.
No, he did not. No, he did not. We're talking about two different incidents then. Because that is not what happened.
No, there was one kid that got shot because he acted like he was going to pull it on the cop.
No, sir. No, sir. Thank you for the call. Right on. Appreciate it.
Hey,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, bro. I wanted to ask
real quick. Yeah, I had two things just real quick. Number one, in response to the caller, I don't think that black people are holding court in the streets. I think the police are holding court in the street, and they're deciding to execute people just, you know, on GP a lot of time, in my opinion. You know, if you're that scared and you're that nervous, and then you shouldn't be a cop. So I just think they're holding courts in the streets. And number two, I don't think committing a crime or committing a crime in the past is a death sentence. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that necessarily puts you on a category of where you should be sentenced to death just because you committed a crime in the past or whatnot. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't think committing a crime is a death sentence. That's why, if that's the case, we shouldn't have courts. Like, why do we even have courts and judges? If you commit a crime, you should just die. Like, there ain't no need to go to court. What are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? So I don't believe that. I think people who commit crimes deserve their chance in court and deserve the chance to tell their side of the story, period. No matter, you know, no matter what. Now, some heinous crimes that we could talk about, you know, like molestation and things like that, but when you talk about other crimes, possession of a gun, possession of drugs and stuff like, no, that's not a death sentence, family. So, but I digress. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, something that's sad to me is, had that 13-year-old who him and that dude was shooting, had one of them bullets came up and came down and hit a woman riding home from work, hit her in her head and killed her. Had that happened, it's a shame to me that we get more public outrage for the young man getting killed than for if an innocent woman riding home from work would have got killed. I just think that's a shame. We get more outrage and people upset because he got killed. But yet, one of his stray bullets had to hit somebody innocent come off from work, it just been, oh, man, that's messed up. Oh, man, we got to do better. Well, nobody been out clowning and jumping all around and hollering and screaming. I just think that's sad. It's just sad. It's no accountability. It's just sad. Yeah, I know. You know I'm right. Had that boy shot somebody, that would not have been a big public outrage like it is because he got shot by the police. It's only an outrage because he got shot by a police officer. That's it. The only reason there's a big outrage.
Because the thing is, I don't think, you know, we can't be responsible for all these derelicts that run around. Like, we can't be responsible for the criminals that run around because the criminals didn't take no oath. So the reason you see the outrage is because the police are supposed to protect and serve the community. That's not what the criminal, that's not what he took an oath to do. You know what I'm saying? A criminal is just that. He's going to commit criminal acts, and no way should the entire black race be responsible for the criminals. You know what I'm saying? We don't put that type of, we don't put that on white people. White people they're not responsible for their criminals. They say their criminals are just lone wolves. Oh, he was acting alone. He did it by himself. But if one black person commits a crime, somehow that reflects on all black people. No, I had nothing to do with that. I'm not condoning it. I don't condone criminal activity, and I'm not with that. So I'm not finna be responsible for some Negro that's off code and doing something destructive to other black people. No.
And that's why I purposely, like I mostly always do, I didn't even say, you know, black community. I just said people are more outraged because he got shot by a cop. People are more outraged by that than had some innocent woman got killed coming home from work. You wouldn't have the same outrage. It'd be a few people on the block, her family and some others that sad because their mama got killed coming home from work. Well, we get this big rush and news media and outcry only because this person was killed by a police officer who from what I heard, wasn't even black himself. But I tried
The guy in Chicago, I think he was he might have been, and the caller touched on that, the first call, he might have been like Hispanic or something. I'm not sure. Because, like I said, I've been kind of looking to, because I know the political agenda behind these cases. So I'm really kind of looking at them from afar. You know what I mean? I'm not getting too emotionally invested because, again, we understand what time it is. At least I do. I understand what time it is. I understand what position we in. I understand the system that we're under. And I try to be as less confused as possible. I don't want no confusion. With these particular cases, I'm watching them from afar. I'm seeing things going on. But what's interesting is, like the caller said, she had every right to reach for her gun in the particular case with the traffic stop in Minneapolis. But my thing was, what raised my antennas was, her first thing she came out and said was, I was going for my taser. Why didn't she just stick to the story like, you know, it was an accident, or I fear for my life. He was resisting arrest. He had a gun in the car. They could have went with that whole narrative, but I found it interesting that the first thing she said was, I was going for my taser.
If you listen to the video, you even hear her saying, taser.
Yeah, right.
She was real stupid. Either she was real stupid, and not realize she had a gun in her hand, or she just was a bald-faced liar. It's one to two.
Yeah, I think that. I think the last one.
Yeah, well, like Brother Kev was talking about, like first caller, you know, he mentioned the warrants and all the criminal activity the boy had. So if that's the case, if she knew all this and she had her gun justifiably out because of what the information told her in the car, then why she just can't stick with that? Why she talking about, it was an accident, if that's the case? So that narrative that he painted as far as, okay, he had these criminal activities going on, so that's why they had their guns out, which makes a lot of sense. So why not just go with that? Why they're not saying that? Why they not just saying, well, you know, we got this out, so I had my gun, I was cautious, he had this and that on him, and all this bad information came up, so I had my gun out, you know, because I was on red alert. It was, but they know what she's saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's getting some time too,
because she was stupid or she was a liar. She getting some time too.
Right. Now look, I want to share this with
you. She getting some time.
Yeah, we'll see. They did finally charge her and whatnot. But like I said, they're going to, I believe she go set up a GoFundMe. You know, these people be committing these crimes and setting up GoFundMe, be getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, I want to put y'all on this story, too, that I just found out. Now, do y'all remember the dude? It's a dude named Kyle Rittenhouse. He was a young white dude that shot two protesters in Minneapolis. He went from Wisconsin, I think he drove to Minneapolis during the George Floyd protest, and he shot
two
protesters were white, but he shot them basically because they was defending part of Black Lives Matter, whatnot. But this guy, but look, check this out though. This guy started a GoFundMe and raised over $586,000 in a GoFundMe. $586,500,000. So these guys are being incentivized to actually commit these murders. He raised, again, $586,000. $500,000 he raised on a GoFundMe. And they're saying that they found out that public officials and U.S. police donated to this guy's GoFundMe or whatnot. Again, that's U.S.
Well,
police.
That one don't surprise me. That one don't surprise me, because when I looked at that, if I was him, I'd have done the same thing. He would look like self-defense to me, because they was attacking him. So I was like, hey, I mean, what can you say? You run up on a man with an AR-15, something wrong with you.
right. Well, he went up there specifically to provoke people, from my understanding. Yeah, he went up there specifically to provoke them. You know, they got, of course, they posted bail for this dude, and now they're saying they just can't find him. He done basically disappeared from the face of the earth. So, you know, he's getting protected.
Dang.
His bond was $2 million. And, you know, he ended up getting out. So he's being protected. Mm. So they using this dude as some type of hero in, you know, in the subculture world of, you know, white supremacists. But I just wanted to put that out there. You got public officials and police donating money to him in his GoFundMe. And not to mention, when these police do these killings, they get a nice bag, too, as well. Remember, Darren Wilson got money. George Zimmerman got money. A lot of these cops, Daniel Pinatalo, like all these cops that do these killings, they get money from GoFundMe, and they're sort of heroes, and they're being protected by white society to a certain degree. So, you know, it's just interesting how these things play out, but I wanted to share that story with y'all about old boy.
Hey, you get black people like old boy, who did the shooting to the cops in Dallas.
Right.
Black people scared to say his name.
Good to say Galvin Long and Michael Johnson, right. Galvin Long and Michael Johnson. And they paid the ultimate price. They put in
man,
the
Cookie,
ultimate work.
That man, the young man from St. Louis, Cookie, some his
and
last
Kirkwood.
Name Cookie, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
Cookie,
they don't need one.
Yeah. So
let alone
now,
you know we ain't gonna get no money. You already know that.
Right.
We definitely
so
ain't gonna get nobody no money.
Right, and that's part of the thing. We got to do better at protecting the people, you know, that go hard for us, and then we got to do a better job at punishing the people that go against the code. You know what I'm saying? Because just like they do, like I say, they stay on code. They protect each other. They got the resources. You know, they got all these different apparatuses like the media and these different institutions, the law institutions, that protect these race soldiers, but yet all these politicians go around like, oh, we don't know what to do. The killings are just so bad, and we just don't know what to do. But yet these are the same people that are in positions of power that can make something happen if they really wanted to. So we just got to get that through our head that a lot of these officials, these governments, especially these fake liberals, they talk like they on our side, and they can give you a long list of things of why black people treat it so bad, but yet they don't want to do anything to make it better. They just want to keep black people on a hamster wheel, running fast, but ain't going nowhere, and talking about how bad we got it. So we got to watch out for that game, you know, that's being played on us as well. So, but, you know, I digress, you feel me? Y'all want to see if we can get one more call or what?
Okay, area code 315-767. You're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Hey, y'all, thanks for having me on, but I ain't got the energy for this conversation.
Well, thanks for
yes,
listening.
Indeed. We appreciate you listening. Yes,
area code 609, this will have to be the last call. Area code 609-310. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Boy, I got a comment, question, all kinds of stuff. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you? Yes, indeed.
Well, I'm doing good. But, yeah, just it's sad all the way around. We got our kids killing our kids, the police killing our kids, the governors. The government is killing our kids because the problem is not only the guns. We got these kids out here dying off of pills, and it's just they doing way too much. They doing so much, and it's just sad out here. I've never seen so much going on at one time. Then on top of that, we still fighting what they call COVID. On top of all that, you know, it's just sad out here. But I just feel like with the one incident with the young man, the 20-year-old that just happened, I just feel like it's all sad. I don't think it warrant for nobody to be killed, but he should have just complied. I wish he'd have just complied. But the lady, she knew her training also. If she got out that car, like you said, and she knew that he was this dangerous person, they should have called for more backup too. They should have called for more backup because how three people can't get him out of the car? He was out of the car and they let him get back in the car. That's when he started not complying.
All right. Yes, indeed. Do you have anything else, Tom?
Yeah, and the one incident with the little 12-year-old, what was his mama at that time of night? I just don't understand what's going on out here. Because ain't no, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not justifying nothing about that lady. Because in the video that I seen, the little boy had his hand up. But you know how they know how to go back and redo stuff. But that's what I seen the first day. The little boy looked like he's been a hand up stand. And I don't think that warrants him to be shot and killed like that. That's crazy. You know, if you think it's just too much going on and they need to get it together, we need, I'm going to say it again like I said the last time, one day, hopefully, we going to wake up. We need to all wake up and see that this is all, it's bad out here, I'm saying. It's all part of the program they got going on. The government got a big part in this, like I said. They got a big part in this with these drugs and stuff. These kids out here, they half of them don't be knowing what they be doing because they be peeled out. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
We got to talk about that too.
Right. Right, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. Y'all need three of them.
Well, brother,
yeah, these kids.
Brother Kev like drugs, though, so. Brother Kev.
I would put it like this.
I've been in a situation with the cops, though, like that. And they are a little aggressive. Because I've been in a situation, I got pulled over, I had a back light out. I can't see behind me. And I didn't pay no attention to it. So I'm coming back from my daughter's game. They pulled me over. The guy was he was nasty. But had I not had common sense, like you said, it could have been worse. I'm telling you, it ain't got nothing to do with where you live. It's got something to do with that cop and both of them. Because if you yelling and you yelling, the cop yelling, what's going to happen? That's going to be a bad situation already.
Yes, indeed. We got to wrap it up, caller. Right on. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate it. All right. Yeah, I think we what up?
Hey, come on, Brother Kev. You supposed to say, yeah, man, ain't nothing wrong with popping them pills.
Well, no, I ain't going to say that, but I don't view drugs, just real quick, drugs per se are not bad. I just put it like that, you know, in and of itself. They can serve some type of person, but I don't think drugs should be illegal. I think there's a way where we can find a way where you're not locking people up because they drug addicts. But I digress. And, this has been a great show, y'all. Good topics that we done broke it down. You know, everybody came with their opinion. I'm glad we had different sides of the coin, different point of views. This is what Collective Minds is about. You feel me? So, yeah, I appreciate everybody tuning in, and I'm going to let Mufasa and Rigel wrap it up. Peace. This is Brother Kid.
All I got to say is comply. When you tell your kids stop running and they run from you and you catch them, most parents put the hammer down. Didn't I tell you don't run from me? So all I'm saying is you should know when you running from the police, if they catch you, you're probably going to get a whoop. You stop running. Don't run. Just go ahead, man up. Hey, I was shooting out there, or I was selling the drugs, I was this, I was that. Just don't take it. Because as you running, like one of the callers said, you could be fleeing in a car and turn around and hit some innocent person that's just minding their own business. That happens all the time. You running from the police, and you ram into somebody's car and kill them. So quit running. Just go on and comply and go your little butt to jail, and whatever happened to you, happened to you. You can't do the time, don't do the crime. That's all I got to say.
Right. Yes, indeed.
You heard him. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for calling in. You know, I do have some last remarks. I'll save it. Take this time to thank everybody for calling in, supporting us each week. I want you to tune in with us next week for another good topic and a great discussion. If you have any show topic ideas, send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us at see you next week.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the
into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper, poopy